You are listening to a sermon from Mission Point St. John. We hope this message encourages a deeper connection between you and Jesus, our Savior.
But tonight, getting into the Word, I want to turn to a passage of Scripture in the book of Colossians. If you have your Bibles, I will be turning to Colossians 1, verses 3 to 14. And like I said, it is a little lengthy, but I wanted to give you a clear picture of what Paul was trying to communicate to the Colossian church. I'll give you a minute or two to find it. If you don't have it, it will be up on the screen as well. It says, starting in verse 3, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and the understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." I wanted to talk to you tonight with just a simple title for this message, Continually. Continually. Why don't we all pray together? God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time to gather in your presence tonight. I pray, God, that our hearts and our minds will be open to receive what you have for us, God. Anoint your messenger, God, as I deliver your word. I pray that your will be done in this place. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. I was always fascinated by science experiments. Actually, I still am fascinated by science experiments. I wanted to fire off a Mentos and Coke rocket from the platform, but I decided against it this time. I'm sure many people here are relieved that I used my better judgment for this sermon. But science experiments are cool. I'm definitely not a genius, but I am amazed that two ordinary ingredients, a Mento and a bottle of Coke, when combined, can erupt Coke multiple feet into the air or send the bottle flying if it's used as a rocket. I still remember one experiment in school where we added different chemicals and minerals to a flame to see it change colors from blue to green to deep red. I actually remember Jack Lehman preaching a sermon one time, and he ran electricity through a pickle to light it up. I didn't even know that was possible. I searched to find a picture of what it looks like in case you haven't seen it before. I assume most people haven't. It's not something that people are doing very often. If they did, it might be a little bit strange. But it's very unique. Apparently, if you want the actual description for it, this experiment works because when electricity is pushed through a sodium solution, it emits a yellow light, and because a pickle has absorbed this solution, it has the same effect, in case everyone was curious. Along with science experiments, I like interesting gadgets like a Newton's cradle. A Newton's cradle shows us the law of energy conservation. I know, big words. By five identical size and weight balls hung from a string, we can see a simple yet powerful law of energy. By lifting one ball and releasing it, it will drop and collide with the remaining four balls, and the energy transferred will cause the ball on the opposite end to shoot up in the air, and then this ball will drop, and the process is repeated over and over with only one time of energy added from when you release the original ball. So that's a little gift there if you haven't seen one of those. This device will send energy back and forth through the five balls and will continue to have momentum. Now, I know you didn't come here for a science lesson tonight, but I saw a similarity. Like a Newton's cradle having continual momentum, I'm reminded of Paul's writing in our opening text, verse 9 and 10, where he says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and the understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." Like the continual momentum of a Newton's cradle, Paul was praying that the Colossian church would have continual momentum. This is a powerful prayer for Paul to pray. He was praying for them to not become stagnant. He wanted them to grow in their knowledge of God. He wanted them to live a life that would please the Lord and that would bear the fruit of God's word. What I take from this is that Paul wanted the Colossian church to continue growing in their knowledge of God's word, to let their life be an example to those around them in the fruit that it bears, and by this they would be a witness of God's word to those around them. I chose to title this message as continually because I believe that is what we as Christians are supposed to do. We must be continually learning about the things of God, continually ministering to others, and continually spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul uses these two words, continually and growing, which reminds us that we can't become comfortable staying where we are at in our walk with God. He prays for the Colossian church to continue growing in their knowledge of God's will. He reminds them of the wisdom and the understanding that the Spirit gives, and prayed that they may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. What a powerful reminder this prayer is to us thousands of years later, challenging us as individuals and as a church to never stop growing in our knowledge of God. I've been around church my whole life, and I still know that there is so much for me to learn. God is still working on me each day, testing my faith and challenging me so that I can grow deeper in him and know him more. I'm so thankful that we serve a faithful God who is loving, and he challenges us not to hurt us, but to strengthen our faith in him. Now, I know that there are many different circumstances here tonight. Maybe this is your first church service, and if that's the case, we are so glad you're with us or watching online. I know that there are also many people who have served the Lord for more years than I've been alive. Whatever your case may be, if you are around church long enough and desire to grow in your walk with God, it won't take you long to realize that we are always growing in our walk with God. Living a life for the Lord is the same as developing a friendship. When you first meet someone, you know nothing about them. And how do you get to know this person? You have to spend time with them. The best way to get to know God is to read his word. The Bible tells us who he is. The Bible tells us that he is a loving God. The Bible tells us he is a just God. The Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The Bible tells us that he created the heavens and the earth, and nothing is too hard for him. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it tells us that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We can read his word over and over again, and it will continue to bring transformation in our life and growth in our walk and knowledge of him if we let it. Equally as important as reading his word, we must develop a relationship with him personally. It's not a real friendship if you know everything about a person but never actually have a conversation with that person. That's like us researching a celebrity and knowing everything about them, like their favorite color and what they eat for breakfast, but that still doesn't make them our friend. It doesn't matter how much I know about Dwayne Johnson. I'm most likely never going to be his friend because I'm not in communication with him. And I don't know a whole lot about Dwayne Johnson, but you get what I'm trying to say. Thankfully, God is not limited to one location, and I don't need a premium Rogers phone plan to get a hold of him. There's a verse in Psalms that says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon him." It reminds me of an old song. He's as close as the mention of his name. I may be young, but this was a song we sang in Millville. We'd call it an oldie but a goodie. The lyrics to the second verse say, "In my hour of struggle, so many times I've found, he's as close as the mention of his name. Just to breathe the name of Jesus can turn everything around. He's as close as the mention of his name." We have the opportunity each day to spend time with God in prayer. He wants to be in relationship with you. There are many verses telling us that God hears our prayers, that we should pray without ceasing, and that we should cast all our anxieties on him because he cares for us. He is a friend like no other. There's a part in a book called The Spiritual Healthy Leader that talks about the quiet time during prayer where we can feel the love of God. It says, "Communication is a two-way street. At some point, you must pause in your petitioning, pleading, and speaking to God and listen for God's voice. Allow him to speak to your heart and minister to the needs that you bring before him." In The Pentecostal Minister, C.M. Becton described the process of quieting oneself for a time of focused prayer. "Gradually, your erratic thoughts will slow down. You will sense a stillness within. You may become aware of small sounds, the hum of the refrigerator, the wind blowing a branch against the house, or perhaps just the tick of the clock down the hallway. It is strange how they seem so loud. But when you feel the warm presence of God's love, the air in the very place where you are keeping will seem to change as the ambience of a home changes when someone you love is home. When you feel God's presence, you will pray earnestly, and it is not with the usual hurried words or your list of 'give me.' You have always known that God loves you, but now you feel his love. And the immensity of it is so overwhelming that you may sit in quiet thanksgiving for long periods of time." Maybe tonight you find yourself in a personal situation that you don't see a way out of. It could be heartbreak that you came in with tonight. Maybe you have anger or bitterness in your heart because someone betrayed you. They could have lied to you, gossiped about you, said things to you that never should have been said. Someone here may be dealing with sadness because of your family situation. You could be caught in the middle of broken relationships and have no idea where to go or who to turn to. You may have fear in your heart for your finances or from seeing what is going on in our world. Each of us will have terrible things that we have to go through in life, but just remember tonight where you find your peace. Jesus sees your hurt tonight. Jesus knows the tears you cry and sees the issues you're dealing with when nobody else knows. You need to find yourself in a quiet place with God when you feel like giving up. When life starts to press too hard, run to a quiet place with our God who cares for your hurt. Bring your needs to God, but take a moment to let every other noise around you fade to hear the still small voice of a God who loves you. He will give you peace in your pain and joy in your struggle. When you feel a weight on your chest that seems immovable, or when you feel like you're drowning, not being able to catch a breath because of anxious thoughts or horrible situations, he will be the breath of fresh air when you feel hopeless. He will be the one to renew hope in your situation. After we learn to find our strength in God and are continually growing in our relationship with him, what does that mean for our personal lives? What does that mean for our time at church, our day-to-day living? This is one thing that Paul was talking about when he prays that they would be bearing fruit in every good work. The more we grow spiritually, the more it overflows into our day-to-day actions. The more we learn about and spend time with God, the more faithful we want to become in our walk with him. Once we see the importance of serving him, it will encourage us to be more faithful to church services. We will start to develop a desire to serve in our local church. We can also begin to see the fruit of the Spirit grow in our lives, and this will be displayed as we spend time with other people. Galatians talks about the growth that will come to our personal life when we allow the Spirit to lead and guide our decisions and actions. It says that we will increase in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. These qualities that Galatians talks about are proof that the Holy Spirit is working in your life. Take a man like Daniel, for example. Daniel was a man in the Bible who was faithful to God. He had a desire to serve God, and he proved this by spending time daily in prayer. In Daniel's time, the king of Babylon ordered that no man should pray to another god besides the king, but that didn't stop Daniel. Even after hearing the new law, Daniel returned to his bedroom with his window open and prayed 3 times a day, just like he always did. He knew that this put his life at risk, but he had such a relationship with God that he didn't care about the cost. The story continues on, and he is caught praying to God, so he is cast into the den of lions. But, if you know the story, the God that Daniel was faithful to every day in prayer now provided for him in a time that he needed him the most and shut the mouths of the lions. God's faithfulness to Daniel was echoed by the author of Psalm 33, verse 4, when they wrote, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does." When you've lived long enough for God and see his provision for you in your situations, you can't help but become more and more thankful for the love that he shows us. We don't serve him because of the things we get from him, but he continues to bless us even when we don't deserve it. Because God has been so good to me, I want to dedicate my life to serve him in any way that I can. I want to be faithful in my church attendance. I want to be used in any ministry that I can be. I want my life to be a living testimony of God's faithfulness to me by being just as faithful back to him. I know that by myself, I wouldn't have the ability or the talent to be used, but the Spirit gives me the ability. For me personally, I know that I tried to make excuses for why I couldn't be involved in ministry in the church. I told God I'm not a natural speaker, just like Moses told God that he was slow of speech. I didn't think I could teach a Bible study because I didn't have the knowledge of the Bible that I thought I should have. I didn't think that I could sing certain songs or lead services because I was too shy and awkward, and no one would be able to worship with my babbling or stutters, being so nervous. As I started allowing God to use me, no matter how insecure or how disqualified I felt to operate under certain ministries, I realized that God will still use me regardless, and he would strengthen my ministries if I allowed him to use me. It may not always be pretty or go how I imagined it would, but I am available. I've had my fair share of voice cracks during singing, saying embarrassing things during a service, and many other events that have kept me humble. But God has been there with me every step of the way. God desires for us to serve, and that's going to look different for everyone. Some may feel called to clean the church. Others may feel called to preach. Others to operate a camera. Others will be blessed with the ability to talk to people and help guests feel the church to be loving and welcoming to everyone. Whatever you find yourself doing for God, put your heart and soul into it, like it says in Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. We don't give of our time and efforts to work for others, but we want to be faithful in our ministry and serving others because we work for God and want to see his kingdom move forward. Let's continue with our opening scripture once again, looking at verse 11. It says, "Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Thankfully, as we continue our walk with God, we don't have to do it alone. As we continue in ministry, we have someone there by our side the whole time. Paul knew better than anyone the strength that we can receive from God after all the situations that he went through. Paul was able to pray for others to be strengthened, even after he was in prison, persecuted, in shipwreck. Through it all, God was his refuge, and he can be the same for us today. You may have heard verses like Galatians 6:9 that say, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." I had a pastor tell me one time, our Christian walk is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Our walk with God is not over after being baptized and receiving the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people will see these steps as being the plateau to their walk with God. They may see it as, well, these are the two things that'll get me to heaven, so that's all I need. While they are important steps to get you to heaven, and they are necessary for every believer, there is so much more that we will experience in our walk with God. The Holy Spirit isn't given just to get us to heaven, but the Spirit will guide us and give us strength for every day that we walk on this earth. We don't have to do it alone. We can find strength in our Heavenly Father to help us live a life that honors God. We will receive strength from Him when we are weary, and He will give us endurance and patience as we follow His will. This life isn't always going to be easy. We will face trials, temptations, and sometimes we may fall, but we need to remember that He is there to pick us back up. He is there to give us strength when we don't have the power in our earthly flesh. He is there at just the mention of His name. As we minister to others, it might not always turn out like we hope. Sometimes we may become discouraged and frustrated because we want people to grow in their walk with God, but they are not always going to react and receive the way that we think they should. It's important to remember that all you can do is sow the seed, and God will bring the increase. I know that if we continue to grow in our walk with God, and we continue to serve under God's will that He has for our life, then God will continue to pour out His Spirit on us and around the people that we are in contact with. 1 Corinthians 3:6 and 9 says, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building." We will be rewarded for our labor, but we aren't able to force the salvation of others. All we can do while we are on this earth is spread the seed, the word of God, and continue to serve the church and our ministries. Thankfully, we don't need to be a pastor or serve a role on the platform to be a minister in the lives around us. You can spread acts of kindness, start a home Bible study, give to your local church, talk to people you run into each day about Jesus. The Holy Spirit will work in your life to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which others see in you each day, things like love, joy, peace, patience. My prayer is that God would help you to grow in these areas. Maybe you are already a minister to those around you, but you are wanting to grow more involved in the church. God could be leading you towards helping out the ministries and events that are going on at the church to be an encouragement to other church members and to guests. Allow God to speak to you and lead you into the ministries that He desires for you. If you feel to be more involved, speak to the pastor and see where you would be a good fit in the many different areas to volunteer. As Christians, we are called to serve. When we step into these roles at our church, it brings growth and connection, not only for ourselves, but for the rest of the church body. Many times, we may be asked to do something, and we don't feel deserving or qualified. I look at a man like Moses, who we see the impact he had on the nation of Israel, but he was very hesitant to submit to God's will in the beginning. If you allow God to speak to you, and for Him to use you where you're feeling led, there's no telling the impact that you could have on the lives around you. I'll get you all to stand tonight, and I'll get the music to come back. By studying the Word of God, there's no doubt that God is going to take you into a deeper walk with Him. He has a will for your life, and He wants you to take the time to get to know Him more. You will find strength each day by continually staying in communication with Jesus. He is our creator, and he's the only one on the throne. There is no need that is too great for him to handle, and there is no need too small that he doesn't care about. The God of the universe has the very hairs on our head numbered. Continue to find your strength in him. Continue to grow in him. Continue to serve him. Jesus died for us, so why not live for him? No matter how far you've come in your walk with God, he's wanting you to continue growing tonight. I'm going to invite you to the front tonight for a time of prayer in the altar. Stepping out and coming to the front is a sign of surrender and a sign of faith by taking a physical action towards a time of prayer and reflection. Many miracles in the Bible happen because Jesus had someone specific on his mind that he wanted to minister to. But many miracles only happen because as Jesus was passing by, a beggar cried out to him to heal his sight. A woman with an issue of blood pushed her way through a crowd to touch the hem of his garment. A paralyzed man was lowered through a house roof during Jesus' teaching to be healed. These men and women of faith were recognized and received their miracle because they did everything possible to get the attention of Jesus Christ. They knew that in order to see something change, they needed to get to Jesus. He rewards faithfulness. He poured out his blessing to those who stepped out in faith to get to the one who could provide everything that they needed. Are you willing to step out tonight? Let your prayers be intentional about asking God what he wants for your life tonight. Ask him how you can better know him. Ask him how you can better serve him and how you can better serve others. We want his will to be done in our life.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, connect with us on our website at missionpoint.ca. God bless you.